The Innerbelt Neighborhood Stories Project collects stories from residents who lived in the neighborhoods that were removed by the construction of the Innerbelt Freeway in Akron. This project is part of the City of Akron's efforts to transform the decommissioned section of the Innerbelt Freeway and to document a part of Akron's history that has been largely missing to date. I'm Roger Riddle. And in this segment, we hear from Bishop Joey Johnson as he shares memories of businesses in the neighborhood, playing with other neighborhood kids, a tragic fire, and the shared grief of the neighborhood. Bishop Johnson is the founder and senior pastor of Akron's House of the Lord Church. He is also an author and a certified grief recovery method specialist. He lived in the neighborhood from 1955 to 1973.
I lived at 533 Douglas Street, which is near the corner of Douglas Street and Bishop Street, almost at the intersection, and it would be the Grace Elementary School area. Grace was in that area, West Junior High School, up at the kind of almost what they call Five Points way back in that day.
Bishop Johnson remembers the neighborhood as one where everyone knew each other, and he still remembers the families that lived around him as he was growing up.
The McWaynes lived next door to us on the right. The Cobbs, the Butts, and the Smiths across the street. The Burnetts next door, the Richardsons on the other side. Mr. Holloway lived kind of catacornered across Douglas and Bishop. Mr. Holloway is a very interesting individual. He was an older man. His yard was immaculate. I mean, just immaculate. Kid would come through and walk on his yard, and he would come out there hollering and screaming, "Get out of my yard! Get out of my yard!"
He also described the neighborhood as being full of kids who all knew each other.
Probably my favorite memory is we used to play four square out there. We played in a driveway two doors from where I lived. So there was some pavement there, and there happened to be four squares of pavement. And we would just get out there and line up and just play. The whole neighborhood would come out to play four square. And it would just be like a tournament. You would be playing and sounding on people and in line. I mean, there's a line to play. It's not just one or two people. There's a line to get in to play four square. And that's a real fond memory of seemed like everybody coming together. There was one field back over off of Bishop Street, and it was glass and cans and whatever. We did play some sports over there, but basically we played in the street. All football was played in the street.
The businesses in the neighborhood were a part of everyday life.
Up on Edgewood was the Custer Stand, and the Custer Stand was a hangout for kids, for all kinds of teenagers, which I never got to go to because my parents were ministers. I was saved. I wasn't allowed to go up to the Custer Stand. I better not catch you up there. Down on Copley Road, across the street from West Junior High School, was Krispy Kreme. Okay, so we used to, you know, sneak out of school, go over to Krispy Kreme and get hot donuts. And there was another little establishment up on, at the end of Douglas and Monroe and Rhodes Avenue, called Margie's. And Margie's used to have pig feet. And let me tell you why this is significant. Because my mother would send me up there. Go up there and get me some pig feet from Margie's. And then come back and I would, just let me taste. Mom, please let me. Just let me. Then I said, no, these are for me. These are pig feet. You can't handle this. I can handle it. Just let me have a little bit of barbecue pig feet.
Knowing the neighborhood the way he did growing up and being known by the members of the community gave Bishop Johnson a strong sense of belonging.
Felt like home. It was familiar. The turf was familiar. The surroundings were familiar. The people were familiar. Whatever it is that centers you, that grounds you, that creates for you what I call an anchor, is the place or person or thing that holds you down when stuff is going on and things are difficult and you're being challenged in various or in different ways. You have to have some place that anchors you, that centers you, that holds you. And I believe that neighborhood gave me a center. I knew who I was when I was there. I understood my place. I understood how I fit with the various peoples and families that were around us. So if I got in trouble or for anything like that, I knew most of the people that were there. It would be very difficult for me to get away with a whole lot with the people that were surrounding us. I'm sure they would have just came over and told my mother and father, you need to do something with him. He's off the hook. Y'all gonna have to do something. So it's that kind of grounding, centering, anchoring that I think the neighborhood provided, not just for me, but for many other people.
Just as the neighborhood had fun together and created wonderful memories for the people who lived there, the community also shared in its tragedies. In this next segment, Bishop Johnson describes a traumatic event that happened in the neighborhood. I beeped out the family's name in an effort to extend some privacy as we hear their story.
Around me, there were incidents of grief, of pain that I saw take place in the families that were there. The lived right across the street from us, and they had a fire at their home, and a child perished in the fire. I remember standing, I don't know where I was standing. I was on the porch or I was out front. I don't remember where I was, but I can remember looking across the street and Mrs. was trying to get her child. And the firemen were holding her. You can't go in there, the house is on fire.
And when a community experiences a traumatic moment like that, how does it respond? How does Bishop Johnson remember the neighborhood processing that moment?
We didn't talk about it. It wasn't brought up in the neighborhood. It wasn't discussed anymore. It was just there. And I think that's how African-American people deal. I'm constantly pushing us at church and in our neighborhood to get mental health help. And we just, whether we use alcohol or repression or depression, we just don't seem to know how to go in and begin to resolve some of these issues. But they are generations deep. I think what happens is we have a tendency when at a certain level of pain to internalize that pain, to not talk about it, to hope that it goes away by internalization, repressing, suppressing. Depending on which term you want to use, there comes certain kinds of pain where to review it doesn't seem to solve it. And so to repress it or suppress it at least gives you a chance to try to move beyond it, even though it's still doing whatever it's doing to you. It's still doing that.
As individuals begin to face traumatic experiences in their past, they begin to heal. As individuals heal, their communities can start to mend and restore. And as communities begin to heal, a city can start to reconcile and dream a better future for its residents. The Innerbelt Neighborhood Resident Stories are produced by me, Roger Riddle. Our executive producers are Liz Agbu of Studio O and the City of Akron. Our music is by Flaco Torres with additional sounds by Become Stardust. Special thanks to Summer Hall, Fred Wheat, Dylan Garitano, Mike Meyer, and the Ohio and Erie Canalway Coalition. And a very special thank you to the Reconnecting Our Community Advisory Committee.